Amen. That was good. That was good. Well, did you bring a Bible today? If you did, hold it up. If not, grab a bulletin or grab something. Hold it up. Come on. Come on. And try to remember to bring a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll help you get a Bible. Let's open up our hearts to and say this together. How many of you know we take the Word of God seriously here at The Rock? Amen. Right? And those four people that agree with me, I'm excited you're here today. Thrilled that you're with us. I said, we at The Rock take the Word of God seriously. Amen. Look at that. Look at that. Had to ask for it, but I got it. Little consolation there. No, I know you mean that in your heart. But we, is your arm getting tired yet? Yes. If you'd practice this more, if you lift your hands and worship God more, you wouldn't get so tired. All right, let's say it. Ready? Here we go. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Now you can put your Bibles down. Thank God, thank God. This is the inspired Word of God, which means against human logic, God used human beings to write words that were perfect in their original language. I don't at all dare to say that the translations into English and Greek and, or excuse me, not Greek, well, the Hebrew was translated into Greek and other languages are perfect translations. But the original manuscripts, when the Holy Spirit inspired these people, were perfect words. In fact, some of the old rabbis have said that they believe that not only were the words perfect, but the letters were perfect, and that even the spaces between the letters had meaning from God. Now that's faith in God's Word. I tell you what, I know this, that His Word changed my life. And it's not just a good group of leadership principles. I mean, these words will deliver you from bondage. These words will deliver you from sexual addictions. These words will deliver you from drug addictions. And anything that binds you and locks you from being the person you're called to be. Powerful. Get the Word into you and get into the Word and you will be changed forever. And you'll be so happy that you did. Thank God. Well, if you have your Bible, open up to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And last week we began, I really just introduced a study that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do called Be Led by the Spirit. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. Now we're talking about being led by the Spirit. And we talked about the fact that we can be led by the Spirit last week. Today I want to talk, I believe by direction of the Lord, about the person of the Holy Spirit. Say that with me. The person of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to begin to see, and the Lord wants us to begin to see and understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. You know, a lot of us have in our minds that the Holy Spirit is like a fog, you know, like a mist or a cloud. And so when somebody says, I'm filled with the Spirit, the mental image in our mind is this kind of fog right around in here. And you say, well, where is the Holy Spirit inside of you? Nobody's ever asked that before. Well, I think he's right here. Really? Really? How big is he? Well, about that big, you know. You know, right? Right? But, well, I guess the bigger you are, if you're filled with the Spirit, the bigger he is. Is that true? Well, yeah, for some of us, he's about this big, and some of us, he's real tall. No, he's not a fog. He's not a cloud, you know, and just in you going like this. You know, fluffy and, you know. No, he's a person. Now, that seems funny, but our minds need to understand who it is we're dealing with. If we are going to be led by this being, then we need to understand some things. So we're going to look into God's Word today, and God's going to begin to paint a more accurate picture in our hearts and minds about who this is that's leading us and how He operates and how we need to work in conjunction with Him so that we can be led at a higher level. You ready for this? It's going to be good. John chapter 16. I want us to read verses 13 through 15 together. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you have a different translation, that's fine. But follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words. But instead of just reading this through, I want us to emphasize the personal pronouns of the Holy Spirit, whenever it says he or him or himself, I want us to stop and really put a punch on that, emphasize this, because the Bible a lot of times makes points just in passing. And if you don't pay attention to them, you miss it. So let's all read verses 13 through 15 of John chapter 16. And let's emphasize these personal pronouns for the Holy Spirit. Ready? John 16, 13. Let's read. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You notice it didn't say anything about it. Didn't say the Holy Spirit. It will help you. It will speak to you. And sometimes people, not realizing it, I don't think anybody that I've ever heard did it intentionally to be degrading at all to the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, in not understanding that the Holy Spirit is a person, he may be referred to as it. Well, can you imagine, you know, if David walked in the room and we said, oh, there's David. Man, I tell you what, it sure does a good job leading us in worship. Well, that wouldn't be appropriate, would it? No, because he's a person. So you don't say it about a person. Now, this chair here, you say it. You say, that's a green chair. It's soft. It's not like a metal chair. See? It. And that'd be perfectly fine to refer to it like that. But it is inappropriate to refer to the Holy Spirit as it. He is a person. He has personal attributes. And I want to show you some of those today. That's why I wanted to emphasize he, him, himself. The Holy Spirit is a person. So when the Bible talks about being led by the Holy Spirit, you are not being led by an it. This is not just a cosmic, knowledgeable thing that has data transfer electronically into your brain. This is not an email function. This is not infrared beaming. You understand? This is a person that God has filled you with that thinks and feels and understands. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Now, he's a person, not an it, not a thing. So he likes to relate to us. This is not just something to use as a tool. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? It's not like if somebody, you know, if you're a carpenter and somebody gave you a very nice hammer or a very nice saw or some kind of a great power tool. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to you to use as a tool. This is a person to work with you. And let me tell you, he's got a big tool belt. Don't get me wrong now. I'm telling you, he comes with a package. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, there are gifts and power and wisdom available in the Holy Spirit, but you need to understand, don't think of him and refer to him as if it is something for you to use like a tool. No, he has been given to us. And I thought many times that God could have filled us with an angel instead of the Holy Spirit. If people can be demon-possessed, then why couldn't people be angel-possessed? Isn't that right? But God, because of his love, did not want to delegate the filling of his beings, his loves. He loves us. He wants to be in us. He wants to be with us. How many of you know? You know, when I met my wife, and I was falling pretty big for her. Now, I was a youth pastor when I met her and had a lot of people working with me. Well, I didn't want to send one of my youth staff. I want you to go over and I want you to relate to her and just love on her and enjoy her presence. Take her out to eat. Go do fun things with her. No, I had some people that probably would have done that to her. I wanted to do that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No, I wanted to be with her. I never delegated that task. I delegated everything else so I could go be with her. And that's what God did. God delegates a lot of things to angels. But God did not delegate to an angel to come and fill you. He wanted to be in you. The Holy Spirit in you is God in you because He wants to be with you all the time. So to treat the Holy Spirit as a tool in your tool belt to be used in life, oh yeah, it's there to help us. It's not an it. He's a person, and He is there to be with you, to love you, to fellowship with you. The Bible talks about the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He is there to talk with you all the time. And tell you the truth, He's bummed out when you don't talk to Him. Because that's what he came to talk to you. He came to fellowship with you. I enjoy being with my wife. I tell her all the time, I could be with you 24/7. I just love you. I love being. Last night we were driving out after service and I drove out first. And I got down the street and I called her because she was in a different car. And she answered the phone. She wasn't in the car yet. She said, I'm just walking out to the car. Okay, I'll turn around and wait for you. She said, well, I got to make a stop on the way home. Good, I'll stop too. You understand what I'm talking about? I want to be with her. Somebody said, that's kind of dumb. Just go home. You only live 7 or 8 minutes away. I know. We just pulled in the same parking lot and parked. We got out of two different cars, walked in together, walked back out, got into two different cars, drove home, drove in the same garage, got out, walked in the same house. I just like to be with her. That's the way God wants to be with you. He loves you. He loves you. Am I getting a little too mushy, Jonathan? There's our 9-year-old. He just thinks that's the craziest thing in the world. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is a person. Say that. The Holy Spirit is a person. And say this. And He loves to be with me. That changes things already, doesn't it? When we understand that. Now, the Holy Spirit talks. Let me read some scriptures to you quickly enough to where I don't think you'd want to turn, but at least write it down. Listen to Acts 13:2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, this is not the only time we see the Holy Spirit saying something, but I just wanted to give you an example. As they ministered to the Lord. How many of you know you ministered to the Lord? Not for the Lord. We talk about ministers. Ministers' first ministry is to the Lord. All of us, our first ministry is to Him. We minister to Him. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, notice He didn't send an email. He didn't just transfer data. No, He talks. He's a person. The Holy Spirit talks. And He said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What a clear, specific word He gave them. Here are these people grouped together praying about what to do. And the Holy Spirit said, now, there's the timeline, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul. Name two individuals in that group for the work to which I have called them. I have already called them to do this work, but now's the time to separate them. How many of you know a lot of times the Holy Spirit will show you something that He wants you to do, but it's not time to do it yet. And so you try to do it and it won't work right. Because He's called you, but He hasn't separated you to do that yet. And notice that the Holy Spirit speaks and gives clear direction. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Did you know the Holy Spirit wants to do that with you? Just at the right time to have the fellowship with you to be able to say, okay, now's the time to make that investment. Now's the time to start saving some money because in about 6 months there's something coming up that you're going to need the extra $1,000 for or $10,000 or whatever it is. See, the Holy Spirit wants to speak that clearly, but that comes through learning to listen to Him and fellowshipping with Him. He talks. He speaks. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit speaks.
Holy Spirit speaks.
Now say this. Say, He speaks to me. Well, let me tell you something else. The Holy Spirit thinks. A lot of people don't realize this. He thinks. He processes. He processes. Listen to Romans chapter 8, the 27th verse. It says, "Now he who searches the hearts," that's Father God, "knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Notice, he, God the Father, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Now, there's more than one word for mind in the New Testament. And this particular word is the Greek word phronema. And phronema means what one has in the mind, the thoughts and the purposes. So it's not so much talking about the mind itself, but it's the thoughts and the purposes, the strategies, the processes going on in the mind. And it says, God who searches our hearts knows what the thoughts and strategies and purposes that are in the mind of the Spirit. He knows what those are. Did you know the Holy Spirit has thoughts and purposes in his mind about you? You're not just filled with him for him just to be there and make you feel good. He is taking... How many of you know we mess things up a lot? Isn't that right? I mean, day by day, minute by minute, we make wrong decisions. Well, you know what he's doing? He's recalculating. He knows where the Lord's trying to take you, and all of a sudden you made another decision over here, and you said something to somebody, and it took you off course again. So he's recalculating how to get you now from here to where you need to go. He's thinking about it all the time, trying to get you to make the next move, because sometimes you can't just reverse and just go right back the same direction. You're going to have to go around the block now. It's a one-way street. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you get into a decision, you can't just turn around. Oh, I wish I would. Yeah, you can't go back now. The Holy Spirit knows how to get you around the block, how to get you back on track to where we're going. He's thinking. He has purposes in his mind. He's got a mind. This is a person we're talking about. And he, listen, and he knows everything about everything. And he's in you to help you. That's not fair, is it? That's not fair, is it? That's not fair to other people that don't know Jesus. Because you've always got the advantage. If you're in a business deal, you got the advantage. He knows everything. He knows when you should not be in the business deal and walk away and say, you know, I don't know why, but I'm just not going to do it right now. What are you talking about? It's the chance of a lifetime. Not for me. Because the Holy Spirit inside is going, mm-mm. It sounds too good to be true, because it is. Huh? The Holy Spirit knows that. How many of you know we could have avoided a lot of wasted money and time if we would listen to the Holy Spirit all the time? Is that true? See, he thinks, he processes, he has a mind, he's a person. Well, he feels. He feels. He talks, he thinks, he feels. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Have you ever grieved someone? Huh? Has someone ever grieved you? I remember when I first got married that I began to learn some things that grieved my wife. I was learning quick. Man, I'd say something and it was funny. I'd laugh. And I look over her, she's not laughing. Just because it was about her. She's not laughing. I hit a nerve. And so then, you know, when you hit a nerve, you think, oh, I got a nerve now. So you just drill down on it. And say something else funny. And she wasn't laughing before. Now she's really not laughing. And I thought, well, this next one, it'll loosen her up. It didn't. It didn't. And I realized, you know what? I don't like her grieved. Because there I am, I'm in the house, she's in the house. But living in the house with somebody that you've grieved is not good. How many of you know that's true? That's not good. You guys are married? Yeah. That married doesn't make any difference. If one of the individuals or both are grieved because the emotions have been struck and injured and there's a grieving going on, it's not fun. I don't care how much money you've got coming into the house. I don't care how nice of a home it is, how many cars you have, how many kids you have. how it's decorated, how many friends you have. It doesn't make any difference. You are a miserable person because you're living with somebody that's grieved. Well, did you know the Holy Spirit can be grieved? And things we do and say and attitudes that we have grieve Him. You know why? Because He feels things. You know, when we say God loves you, that means He has emotions. But that also means He's vulnerable to be hurt. Did you know that? A lot of people don't realize that about God. He's vulnerable to be hurt because He's a person. And so if He has this love and He gets excited about you, He can also be hurt by you. How many of you know that's true? The Bible talks about God being angry and such. The Bible talks about Him rejoicing over us with singing. Did you know God sings? God sings. How'd you like to have a CD of God singing? Huh? Well, we're going to hear Him one day. Isn't that right? I mean, in heaven's going to be quiet. The angels are going to go, shh, Father's going to sing. Oh, shh. And I'm telling you, I'll bet He's got some pipes too. Amen? I'm telling you, the Bible says the Lord rejoices over us with singing. Well, here it also says that our attitudes, are speaking wrongly and sinning against Him can grieve Him. He comes with excitement. It's like he's getting married. He's been waiting for this. He loves us. And He comes, He's all excited. He wants to help us. And then we act like He's not there. And we begin to say things and do things that injure Him. And see, in talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit if you're grieving Him. And a lot of people feel like, well, I can just do anything I want to do, live any way I want to live, say anything I want to say, and then when I'm ready to be led, I just say, Holy Spirit, lead me in this decision. And they can't figure out why they don't hear anything. Well, we understand it with our spouse. For those of us that are married in a house, you understand it clearly. You understand it with a colleague at work. You say something and hurt their feelings and offend them, and you can't figure out why they're not going to help you on the next deal with joy. We understand that. It's because we haven't realized that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. So therefore, He expects some interaction. He expects sensitivity toward Him. I've learned that I like to be sensitive to my wife's feelings, because I want her to enjoy being around me. And I've learned that if she enjoys being with me, I enjoy being with her more. Isn't that right? And so I've also begun to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because when He enjoys being around me and talking to me, I enjoy life better. Because now I know what's up. I know what's going on because He lets me in on it. See, He's a person. He feels. And there are consequences to grieving the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a few examples. Isaiah 63:10 says, but they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned Himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. Notice that. This is talking about God's people, Israel. And it says, they grieved His Holy Spirit. So God, instead of, you know, hey, if God's for you, who can be against you? Yeah, but what if God's against you? Then it doesn't matter who's for you. Isn't that true? It says they grieved His Holy Spirit, so God Himself turned against His own people. All through the Bible calls the enemies of Israel God's enemies. If it's David, King David's enemies, it's God's enemy. If it's Samuel's enemy, it's God's enemy, because the people of God and God are the same until they rebel against God. And all of a sudden God says, you stay right there. I'm going over on your enemy side. And now I'm going to be with your enemy. And now, all right, guys, ready? I'm going to strengthen you guys to fight my own people. I don't know about you. I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't like that, but it happens. In fact, one of the verses that charismatics like to quote along a lot is, one shall put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Ever heard that before? And we use that in prayer, like if we agree in prayer, then our prayer is more powerful, which is true, because Jesus told us, if two of you agree on it concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So that principle is absolutely true, and I don't think it's a mistake to quote that. But if you go look up that particular verse, and it says it a couple of different ways in the Old Testament, but if you go look up that particular verse, it really doesn't say one of us that are God's people will put 1,000 of our enemies to flight and 2 10,000. Really, it's in the form of a question. And the question is, how can one of our enemies put 1,000 of us to flight? And how could two of our enemies put 10,000 of us to flight or defeat 10,000 of us if our rock, our God, didn't help them do it? That's what the verse says. And we quote it all the time like it's talking about us. It's not. One shall put 1,000 of us to flight is what it's saying. And two of our enemies can beat 10,000 of us because our own God helped them. Why? Because we grieved His Holy Spirit. See, there are consequences to this. We get all excited about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm excited about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you don't begin to pay attention to Him and be sensitive to Him and understand that what you say and what you do either rejoices His heart and wants Him to work with you and help you and love you and speak to you and give you wisdom and defeat your enemies before your face, or grieves Him, hurts Him, injures Him. But we at the Rock, we're not people that injure the Holy Spirit. Amen? No, we're among those who are sensitive to Him and honor Him and respect Him and value Him. That's who we are. That's who we are. Hebrews 10:29 says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Insulted the Spirit of grace. This is talking about somebody who has received Jesus as Lord, been filled with the Holy Spirit, begun to walk in the things of God, and then decided, you know what? But I want to do this. I want to do this with Lucy. I want to do this with my money. I want to do this with my time. And it's opposing the will of God. And they, even though they made Jesus Lord, now they're going to go do their own thing and live their own way and disregard Him. And He said, by doing that, you go and live in like any other sinner. What you've done is you've trampled the Son of God under your feet, treated Him as nothing after all He's done for you. And you've counted the blood of this covenant just a normal common thing. And you have insulted the Spirit of grace who has come to live inside of you, to partner with you. And you have insulted Him by inviting Him in and then treating Him as an enemy, as a stranger, as somebody who you don't care anything about. Insult. See, He can be insulted by the way we talk, the way we live. But that's not us. Somebody say amen. That's not us. Isn't that right? No, that's not who we are. Let me give you one more verse. Jesus said this, one of the most strong statements that He makes. He said, assuredly, I say to you, Mark 3:28, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. That's talking about hell. Because they said he has an unclean spirit. Because they said he has an unclean spirit. So what happened was Jesus had cast out a demon and they came and said, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub or Satan. And Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, it won't stand. And then he turned around and he talked like this and he said, you know, you can blaspheme against me. And anything else, it can be forgiven of you, if, of course, you repent. But he said, if he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. And it goes on to say, because they said he had an unclean spirit. Now, you know, some of you would say, how could they do that? But, you know, I believe there are people, many, many Christians today, that would have done the same thing to Jesus. Because we do it today to men and women of God, people in ministries and doing things by the power of the Holy Spirit. We scoff at them. Look at that. Look at those guys. Look at their hair. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they minister. Oh, that's not God. Huh? We look at the outward. We look at the external. And because this person looks like this and dresses like this and acts like this and his style or her style, then we immediately discount, and if we're not careful, we'll say, that's not God. That's flesh, or that's demonic. I've even heard people say that. That's what Jesus was dealing with here. How many of you know Jesus did some weird things? Did you know that? Remember the blind guy comes to Jesus, "Oh, Lord, I'm blind. I need my sight." Jesus steps back. Spits on the ground. Reaches down and rubs it into the dirt until it's mud. And picks it up. "Here's mud in your eye." Did he do it or did he not? He did. Now, if Christians were standing around looking at that, and they didn't know for sure that was Son of God, it was just somebody that said he was, can you imagine? You know what they say? "Oh, get away from him. What? How insensitive. The guy's blind. Just rubbed spit and mud in his eye. Get away. You are wrong. You are wrong." Isn't that right? I'm telling you. Listen, we're going to sue him. We're calling Larry Parker. Going to get you 2.1, man. I mean, come on now. That is so wrong. Isn't that true? Jesus did some weird. In fact, one time it said the guy had a speech impediment. And Jesus, the way it words it, it says Jesus spit and touched his tongue. Now, I always just in my mind give him the benefit of the doubt that he at least spit on his finger and touched the guy's tongue. Didn't say anything about a finger. It said he spit and touched his tongue. Guy's got a speech impediment. I don't talk so clear. I can help you. And now what the Bible says, he spit. I mean, that's degrading. Somebody spit in your face, that's degrading. But in your mouth? Now, I don't know exactly how it went, but I know this, that the guy's speech impediment was healed. Was it not? Now, see, people are standing around. You know what they're thinking? Same thing you'd be thinking. He spit in his mouth. Ah! That's wrong. That's wrong. And you'd be tempted to say, that's not God. God wouldn't do that. God doesn't treat people. And here, you know. But it was God, wasn't it? Because Jesus himself was God. And he was doing weird, strange things that in our minds ought not be done. And today, people do that today, men and women of God, and they're quickly dismissed and discounted. And I dare say you better be careful that you don't call the Holy Spirit and what he's doing through a human fleshly being demonic or anything less than God. If you're not sure, just hush. But don't be in danger. Jesus said, hey, say anything against Son of Man or whatever, but don't you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. There's a value in God's mind on him giving this grace and gift of the Holy Spirit here on the earth. And he does not expect nor stand for people insulting him and assuming that they are so knowledgeable that they know when it's the Holy Spirit and not. And I can tell by that guy's hairdo that that's not the Holy Spirit. It's ridiculous. It's petty, smallness, arrogant, and prideful. Instead of going and talking to people and say, did you have a change from the presence of God? Have you been healed? Well, thank God. Give the glory to God. Amen? So you can't talk like that and insult the Spirit of grace, even in somebody else's ministry, and expect him, the same one, the same Holy Spirit living inside of you, just to rejoice over you. Being a big mouth and a judgmental person and critical of everybody, don't expect the Holy Spirit just to enjoy being with you, because that's not how he is. He's here to love. He's here to help. He's here to heal. He's here to deliver. And he does it through people of all different sizes and styles and looks and cultures in different ways. And he's gentle. And so when we're not, just know you can't expect to be like that and for the Holy Spirit to work with you the right way. So that's why so many people say, I don't know why, I just don't hear anything. Part of me says, can I just walk around with you for a few days and listen to you and you not change anything that you do and just watch you and listen to you? And I'll probably be able to point out why you don't hear anything. Because you shut him down. He begins to say something to you and prompt you, and no, your mind takes over and you begin to do what you want to do. And let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's not going to control you and manipulate you and overpower you and force you to do the will of God. He's gentle. He's kind. Well, you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That means that's how He is. And when you begin to be that as well, He flows with you. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? See, we're learning about who He is and how He is so that we can relate to Him. He's right inside of us, but that's how He is. That's how He is. Let's look at one quick scripture as we close. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Acts 5. This is one of the most freaky passages in the Bible. Let's read some of these verses. Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. They had a possession that was valuable and they sold it. And he, Ananias, kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. What does that mean, breathed his last? He died. He died. Listen, here's a guy that had a piece of land, and he and his wife wanted to sell that land and bring money into to the church, to the ministry, so that the ministry could be advanced and furthered. That's a noble thing to do. And he brings it in, but instead of just being upfront about it, he said, oh yeah, we sold our property. We just wanted to bring it all the proceeds to the Lord and just put it into the kingdom. But he didn't bring it all. He wanted the credit from human beings of bringing it all. But it wasn't all. He kept back part. He kept back. Now this will tell us several things. First of all, that the Lord does want us to, when He prompts us to do something, you know, if the Lord prompts you to give somebody $100 and you reach in and you got a $100 bill and a 10, I don't know about you, but my natural mind always says, you know, 10 bucks will get them through the day. How many of you know the natural mind is not nearly as generous as your spirit? Is that true? Well, when the Holy Spirit says, give them 100, you give them 100. Now, but Peter clarifies with this guy, it's not even that you didn't give it all. It's that you came in lying about it, acting like you gave it all, and you didn't. And he says, you need to know something, Ananias. You're not lying to men. You lied to God. So first he said you lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he said you lied to God, which once again clarifies that the Holy Spirit is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all God. One God. Three persons. He said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe that Ananias didn't know he was lying to the Holy Spirit? I don't think he walked in and says, watch this, we're going to pull one over on the Holy Spirit. I don't think he even thought about that. I think he just thought, hey, we're going to go in there, this is going to be good. You know, other people are doing this, giving into the ministry so people's lives can be changed. We're going to do it too, but let's keep back apart. They won't know. They won't know. And let's just go in and just by the way we present it and say it, they'll think that we're giving all of it. And his wife knew this was happening too. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to men but to God. And the guy died. 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 He just brought a big gift into the church. And he died. He's dead. Done. His life's over right then. He just sold land to bring it into the church, to bring the proceeds in, and brought a chunk of it in. Nobody knows what the percentage is, but he brought a chunk of it in, and he's dead. It's over. Life done. You think, what kind of an unfair God is that? The guy just brought some money, and then God's going to be ungrateful. I wanted it all. No, that's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. See, we pray for revival. Lord, we want revival. We want the move of the Spirit, Lord. But you need to understand, when the power of the Spirit is in operation and the Spirit is flowing, sin gets dealt with fast. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is not some new Christian that didn't know any better. These are people that knew what was going on, but chose to try to sneak one by and look good, look better than they should have looked. Shortcutting in their mind that the Holy Spirit's a person. He thinks. He sees. And Peter said, man, you just lied. When you lie to people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. I've had people sitting in my office, sitting right across my desk, and I knew they are just bald-faced lying to me. But mostly people of ignorance about the power of the Holy Spirit. Not people in the middle of a move of the Holy Spirit that know what's going on and just come in with an insulting, belittling attitude about how smart the Holy Spirit is. He's smart. That's insulting to him to come in and to try to act like you're doing something. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? The guy died right then. Somebody says, I'm not bringing any money in anymore. No. Well, that's not going to please him either. No, it's be honest. Do what he asked you to do and be honest about it. Died. Well, look, his wife came in. They carried him out and buried him. Verse 6. Verse 7 says, now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. How many of you know Peter's a pretty intense guy here, isn't that right? He didn't say, now your husband lied to me and he died. I'm going to give you a chance. He didn't say that. He just said, hey, tell me something. Did you sell the land for so much? And look what she said. She said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? How many of you know the Spirit of the Lord passed the test? Huh? Don't test the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you, he's smart. He knows everything about everything. Don't test him in any of your actions, in anything that you do. Don't think you're going to sneak one over on him. Never. He passes every test. But he doesn't want to be tested like that. How many of you know this is not the Holy Spirit's heart to do this? No, this is when people dishonor him, degrade him, insult him, grieve him. And so it says, why'd you test the Spirit of the Lord? Look. The feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. Verse 11, so great fear came upon all the church and upon those all who heard these things. Well, yeah. You know, if you keep reading, you won't find any place where Ananias and Sapphira's family members came into Peter and said, who do you think you are? Who are you killing our family members? Not even letting us have a viewing or a funeral. Just take them out and pick where you want to bury them. Don't even let us be in on. Nobody came and said anything. They're scared. They're not going to say anything to Peter. Isn't that right? No, nobody comments on it. Everybody just said, don't lie. Isn't that right? See, so if you're taking notes, you got to just write down, don't do that. Right? Huh? We just learned something right there, right? Don't do that. That's bad if you do that. See, because the Holy Spirit's a person, and he's a powerful person. And it's like, you know, cars. Cars are such wonderful, wonderful things. Wonderful things. But you get on the wrong side of a car at the wrong time, and that power will kill you. Is that true? And you need to understand something about the Holy Spirit. You need to respect when you get your kids around power tools. Those of you that have that, you teach them to respect those power tools. Because the same power tool that builds houses and does such wonderful things will take your fingers off like that. Or worse. See, in the power of the Holy Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing, we all want revival. Lord, we want that to happen. But you need to understand, that doesn't happen with people that are grieving the Holy Spirit, insulting Him. Because if it did, they wouldn't be there anymore. You understand? It happens when we as a people individually become sensitive to Him and begin to honor Him and give place to Him. I remember it was a couple of years ago. I was over in this Starbucks over here on Harbor and Orangethorpe, and I had met a soon-to-be pastor. He'd been a youth pastor for many years. But he had come to the area, this area, to plant a church. And so he was going around and checking out some of the churches that were doing some great things in the area. And he'd come to our church a couple of times. I hadn't known it until I met him. And he told me that, yeah, I know who you are. You're from the Rock over there. Yeah, I've been to your church. I'm here to plant a church. And so we moved into the area and we're checking it out and preparing. I said, oh, it's wonderful and such. And I don't remember if it was that first conversation or the next time I'd seen him that he said, yeah, you know, I wanted to come back. My wife and I did, but my daughter won't come back. Really? Yeah, every time we drive by the church, she says, I don't want to go there. I said, well, why not? He said, well, it was kind of a freak thing. He said, you probably heard about it. She was back in the kids' center, and they were throwing a football around, and she got hit in the face with a football. And so she just thinks about getting hit and the pain of getting hit in the face. And he said, you probably heard about that. Did you hear about that? Well, you know, I hear about so many different things. And sometimes I can't remember them all. Before I even thought, I just said, yeah, I heard about that. And I said, what happened now? Because I want to know about that. You know, we're throwing a football around, and we were new, and we had lots of things going on, and trying to get our act together. But I said, yeah. And then, so he explained it to me again, what happened, you know, and then he said, you heard about that? I go, oh yeah. Well, I had remembered that I had heard about a guy getting hit, but this was a girl. And here I am, I'm telling him, oh yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, how many of you know, a lot of times you'll tell somebody, no, I don't remember it. And about 5 minutes later, you go, oh yeah, I remember that. Why did I tell him that? I just couldn't think of it. And so here I am, all this is processing through my mind in just a matter of milliseconds. But what I said was, yeah, I heard about it, and I walked away. And I knew. I grieved the Holy Spirit. See, obviously, you know, going into living in sin and sleeping with your boyfriend and your girlfriend and all that, you need to know that grieves the Holy Spirit. But even when you get all those things corrected and you're out of that lifestyle like that, you'll learn that little things he keeps challenging us on step by step to become more and more in line with the character of Jesus, to be more and more like Jesus, honest, truthful, all the time. Man, and I walked away, and inside I knew something's wrong. And I knew what it was. And I thought, well, I didn't really, you know, I'm justifying it in my mind. I wasn't really trying to lie. I was just trying to process. Did I hear about that and did I not? But, you know, he's asking me right now. So I told him, yeah. But when I told him that, I didn't remember hearing about it. And as time went on, I never did remember hearing about it. I still don't remember hearing about it except from him. And so it was about, maybe 30 minutes later. He had given me a cell phone number, and I called him on the phone. I said, hey, listen, I need to apologize to you and ask you to forgive me because you asked me if I had heard about that. And I did hear about things. I hear about things. I heard about a boy getting hit. But I don't remember hearing about your daughter being hit. And I should have just said, no, I didn't remember. But I said yes, and that's called a lie. And that's wrong, and please forgive me for that. Oh, yeah, I know pastors, they hear so much, and, you know, he was trying to be kind and nice, and, well, I appreciate all that, but I should have just told you what I knew at the time, the truth. And it was embarrassing. Not only was it embarrassing because, you know, here I have to go and fess up, but here's a church planner coming to the area, checking out some of the church that are doing something. And I'm a pastor. How many of you know that doesn't make things easier? In your mind, it'll make things worse, right? Well, I can't say that because then, you know, he'd never find out anyway. Then he wouldn't respect me if I... He may go around the neighborhood and say, don't go to that church, that guy's a liar. And all those thoughts begin to process, self-preservation and everything else. And that's when you find out who you value. You value the Holy Spirit, the presence of God on your life, or are you your own source to make sure that you look good in front of everybody else, whether you're lying or truthful? And I got off the phone embarrassed in my flesh, but in my spirit, I knew that the Holy Spirit was rejoicing in me and saying, that's my boy. It's my boy. We're working together here. We're working together. I want the Holy Spirit to look up at Father God and say, we got a keeper. This guy's a keeper. This guy's with us. He's on our team. He'll do whatever we tell him to do. Amen. Do you understand? See, we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. But you can't grieve him and insult him and ignore him and then expect when you need it, there he is going to be right there. No, he's a person. He's a person. You have to invest into that relationship and let him know you're in the lead. I follow you. You know everything. You know right and wrong. And I follow you. I mean, this happens when, you know, years ago I didn't think about this. But as my relationship with the Lord began to progress, these things came to mind where somebody just be in a conversation saying, oh yeah, and that band, you know the band that everybody's into right now, and they'll name it, you know, and here I was a youth pastor, maybe national youth minister at the time, and they're saying, oh yeah, you know that band that everybody's into, and they'll name it off. I'd never heard of it in my life because I don't listen to all that stuff. I learned you don't have to go and live in the world, in the trash, in the sin to pull people out of it. Isn't that right? No. Now, it's okay to go in there and talk to them and love on them and be with them, but I don't have to ingest sin and get into all that stuff in my heart and get into bondage and everything to relate to the kids. Who's going to pull them out of bondage if I'm in bondage? So I learned to distance myself, but then people walk up, you've heard of this, right? Other youth pastors, hey, you heard of this? And I'm thinking, that's the goofiest name band I ever heard, you know. No, I never heard of all that. But you have the tendency to want to say, oh yeah. And they would never know. But see, when you're flowing with the Holy Spirit, he's called the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that right? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And those little lies grieve him because he doesn't function with a liar. And so all of a sudden, as years go on, I didn't do that anymore. I started just being up front. No, I've never heard of them. They may look and say, you never heard of them? Nope, so they must not be all that popular after all. They never heard of those guys. Just be honest, right? See, it's who you value. It's who you value. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Start respecting him, honoring him, being obedient to him, talking to him and letting him know, hey, you know what? I have to go back and apologize. I have to go back and ask for forgiveness. King David went through such a long time. That whole thing with Bathsheba and Uriah was months of ignoring the Holy Spirit. Months. It wasn't a mistake and he missed it and he repented. No, months. The Holy Spirit dealing with him. He saw her. He liked her. He loved her. He lusted after her. He asked somebody, who is that? They told him, it's somebody's wife. He didn't stop there. Call her. I want to talk to her. Called her to the palace while she's en route to the palace. Holy Spirit's dealing with his heart. You think he listens? No, he doesn't listen. You know you shouldn't be there. You know you shouldn't have her here. You know you're not in a state of mind right now to talk to anybody with purity. No. On the way, he doesn't listen. She comes over there. He sleeps with her. Sends her back home. He's done wrong. Think he listens? No, he doesn't listen. Weeks go by. She finds out she's pregnant. Think he listens to the Holy Spirit? No, he doesn't listen. He ignores him. So he calls and sends for Uriah, one of his mighty men who has been fighting for him for years to save David's life and to spare him. Sends for him out on the battlefield. It takes time for him to get back here. The Holy Spirit's dealing with him. You think he listens? No, he doesn't listen. Uriah gets back there and he says, hey, Uriah, man, you're such a good man. You know, go home and rest. trying to get him to sleep with his wife so he'll think he impregnated her. And Uriah, being such an honorable man, went and slept on the porch. And they told David he didn't go home. David called, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on? How could I go home and enjoy my wife when my fellow brethren are out fighting in the battle?" This is an honorable man. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with David. Think he listens? Doesn't listen. Doesn't listen. He's gonna cover his own rear end. See? So he sends a letter with Uriah, seals it so Uriah wouldn't read it, to Joab. Uriah takes it to Joab. This takes weeks. I mean, all this process is taking months. Sends it to Joab. Joab, have this guy, put him on the front line, have him killed. And the whole time Uriah is in process back to Joab, the Holy Spirit is dealing with David. Don't do that. It's one of your mighty men. He lays down his life for you, David. Come on. Come on. But no, David's going to cover himself. The Holy Spirit's dealing with him. Uriah gets killed. David takes Bathsheba as wife. But there are consequences. Right? The baby dies. David fasted and prayed. Nope, the baby dies. Nathan the prophet came and confronted David and said, not only is the baby going to die, but I tell you what else is going to happen. You're going to have family members turn against you. God had given you rest and peace and blessed you and your nation, defeated all your enemies all around you because of your heart. But because you wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit and you grieved him and continued to live your lifestyle, you're going to have people in your own family coming against you. And Absalom did. Absalom ended up getting killed. Broke David's heart. Tore him up. Said, not only that, there's going to be war in your family forever now. There'll always be somebody in your family that comes against the family of David. Whew. And we think, what a harsh punishment. Yeah, but months, months, months. Everybody say months. Of ignoring the Holy Spirit, grieving him, insulting him, and all that he had done for David. And that's why in Psalm 51, David finally broke. He said, oh God, create in me a clean heart and such. And one of the things he said was, Lord, please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Knowing that he was on the verge of grieving him to the point of not having him anymore. But God was gracious. Right? God was gracious and restored him. How many of you say amen to that? God was gracious and restored him. Samson got to the place where he ignored so much that the Bible says one of the most horrible, depressing verses in the Bible. When he'd gone so long. And it said, and Samson did not know that the Holy Spirit had left him. When you ignore him, disdain him, grieve him to the point that you're not having any fellowship with him, you won't even know when he left. And that's why Jesus said a lot of people at the end of the age are going to say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I don't know you. Lord, didn't we do all this stuff? Holy Spirit left him. They didn't know it. Because see, they didn't learn to function with him to where when they grieved him, they knew it and they repented and got in line. No, no. They just went and did their own thing. And they just got over that sense to where that sense wasn't even there anymore. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? But that's not us at the Rock. Amen? I said, that's not us. That's not us. Bow your heads with me right where you are. Thank you, Lord. I want you just talk to the Holy Spirit right now. You may need to say something.